الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام, most respected elders and brothers, and also those listening over receivers, it is a great bounty, ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted us life in this month of Ramadan. If we study the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the fada'il, the virtues of the month of Ramadan, then we will come to conclusion that the month of Ramadan is the greatest month in the Islamic calendar. Much of its virtue is due to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the Quran al-Kareem in this month of Ramadan. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, that it is in the month of Ramadan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the Quran. And more specifically, in the night of Qadr, as Allah ta'ala mentions, in the night of power, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, that the Quran al-Kareem was revealed in the night of power. Now what this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran al-Kareem from the Lawhul Mahfuz, the sacred tablet, to the Sama'ud Dunya, the first heaven, in the month of Ramadan, and more specifically in the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. And from there, from the Sama'ud Dunya, the first heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually revealed the Quran al-Kareem to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over a period of 23 years as the need arose. So the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran, Shahrul Quran, the month of the Quran. And besides this, the month of Ramadan has a lot of blessings, a lot of mercy, a lot of rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a lengthy hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes the various aspects of the month of Ramadan and the fada'il and the virtues of the month of Ramadan. And the gist of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that in this month, whoever does any nafil act, any optional act, then he will be given the reward of a fard act. So if a person does a nafil act, then it is as if he did a fard act. He will get the reward of a fard act. And if a person does a fard act, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply that fard act, that compulsory act, 70 times. In it is a night which is more valuable than 1,000 months. And further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that whoever feeds a fasting person, then he will get forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and emancipation, freedom from the fire of Jahannam. Upon this, the Sahaba al-Kiram inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, we do not all have the means to feed a fasting person. Upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that merely giving a date or a portion of a date or giving a sip of water or a sip of milk, then too you will be given this reward and this virtue. Further, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the first few days of this month of Ramadan contain the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend in the first few days of Ramadan. In the middle few days of Ramadan, the forgiveness and maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives wholeheartedly. And the last few days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipates souls from the fire of Jahannam. So this month of Ramadan is a month, is a golden opportunity for us. If we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we will see a great noble example for us. As Allah ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that in the Rasul of Allah is a good example for you. We find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, already 2 months prior to the month of Ramadan, he is mentally preparing himself. And we find that he is looking forward to the month of Ramadan. In the month of Rajab, it is recorded in the hadith that Rasulullah used to make the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. O Allah, grant us barakah, blessings in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, and let us reach the month of Ramadan, showing his eagerness for the month of Ramadan. Furthermore, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Ramadan, and more specifically in the last 10 days, he would exert himself in ibadah, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that Nabi who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given, who had promised him very, very high rank in Jannah, and all the Anbiya are sinless. Yet he is exerting himself. Why did he do this? The ulama ikram explained, ta'aliman lil ummah, to teach the ummah, that if the Nabi of Allah, who is sinless, and who has been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whose rank has already been promised in the akhirah, if he exerts himself so much in this month of Ramadan, then it is a lesson for you and I, how much more we have to exert ourselves. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions with regard to istighfar and seeking repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, he instructs the sahaba ikram that seek forgiveness from Allah, make istighfar in abundance, because I make istighfar more than 70 times a day, and in one narration more than 100 times a day. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ma'asum, sinless. There was no need for him to make istighfar. But the reason he did this was ta'aliman lil ummah, to teach the ummah, that if a Nabi who is sinless, if he is making so much istighfar, then you and I who commit so much sins night and day, from the morning till the night, how much of sins we commit, how much more istighfar we have to make. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the month of Ramadan, he would exert himself in ibadah. He would value this month of Ramadan. But for many of us, the month of Ramadan is merely skipping a few meals and changing our routine. That is, we eat little less, and we just stay awake more at night, wake up a little early. That is all that Ramadan means for us. Whereas, the month of Ramadan is not just merely skipping meals. It is a complete spiritual program, a spiritual overall for our spiritual hearts. It is an opportunity to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama ikram explained that if the month of Ramadan was merely skipping of meals, then we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have made Ramadan, or fasting in the month of Ramadan, fard in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Because in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those of us who are acquainted with history, we will know that the Muslims were going under much persecution in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And they would hardly have any food, at times no food at all. So if fasting was merely skipping of meals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have made it fard in Makkah al-Mukarramah. But ulama-i kiram explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it fard in Medina Munawwara. The reason for this is that in Medina Sharif there was much security, peace, tranquility. Because fasting was not merely skipping of meals, but it was a complete spiritual program. And for this spiritual program you needed peace, tranquility, the tranquility and safety and security of Medina Sharif. And that is the reason why fasting has been made compulsory, as Allah ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That, O believers, fasting has been made compulsory upon you. Mufassirin mentioned that in this ayah, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this ayah, maintaining the relationship of love between the servant and his creator. That we know, if a person is deprived from something which he loves by somebody, then naturally a person tends to get hard feelings for that person who has deprived him from something that he loves. So here, eating, drinking, and things that we love, these are normally beloved to a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it forbidden for us in the month of Ramadan. He has deprived us of it for a certain period of time. So a person must not have ill feelings for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore Allah ta'ala mentions that, O believers, Allah ta'ala did not say, I made fasting compulsory upon you. But Allah ta'ala says, fasting has been made compulsory upon you, maintaining the relationship of love. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Again, so that we do not feel it is a great burden upon us, that we have been singled out, that nobody else is fasting and we have to fast. No, Allah ta'ala says, you are not the only ones who had to fast. There were many nations before you who had to fast. There are many ummats of the other anbiya who had to fast. So fasting has been made compulsory upon you, just as it was made compulsory upon those before you. You are not the only ones. But what is the purpose and objective of fasting? Allah Ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may gain taqwa. This is the purpose and objective of fasting. It is not just merely skipping of meals or changing our routine. It is to adopt taqwa, that we get taqwa in our lives. We are given a training to abstain from those things which are normally halal. Eating, drinking are halal. So a person gains the ability, capability of abstaining and restraining himself from halal. Therefore, after the month of Ramadan, it must be much more easier for him to abstain from those things which are harmful and haram. Because there is plenty of halal. So if a person has the ability to abstain from those things which are halal, then for him to abstain from haram will become much more easy. So this month of Ramadan is to charge our spiritual batteries, so that for the remaining 11 months of the year, we can fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ease. So that we gain taqwa, that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the fear, as we say, the fear of a lion. But rather we fear the displeasure of Allah. That our Allah, who is so kind, so merciful, so rahim, so kareem, how can we displease that Allah? We fear that we must not displease such a kind Allah. And we have this worry and concern that we must please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every moment in our lives. So therefore this month of Ramadan is for that purpose, to adopt taqwa in our lives. Now we look at this month of Ramadan, it is a golden opportunity to receive the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, a person who allows the month of Ramadan to pass, and he wastes the month of Ramadan, he squanders this golden opportunity, then we find that this person has suffered a great loss. So just as there is much reward in the month of Ramadan, it is also very, very risky. In the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned that person who missed a fast of Ramadan intentionally, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that even if he fast for the rest of his life, he will not be able to make up for that one fast of Ramadan. In the famous hadith narrated by Hazrat Ka'b bin Ujra radiallahu anhu, where he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have heard this hadith many times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam climbed the minbar, and at each step he said Ameen. The first step that he took, he said Ameen. The second step that he took, he said Ameen. And again, the third step, he said Ameen. Upon the Sahaba Ikram inquired that, Ya Rasulullah, we have noticed you doing something which you do not normally do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and he said that when I took the first step, as Jibreel alayhi salam made baddu'a, he cursed a certain group of people and I said Ameen on this curse. Now that should be sufficient for us, it should be a sufficient warning for us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto mankind, how much of compassion he had for this ummah. If he is cursing a certain person, then we have to make sure that we do not fall under that category. And in fact, that person is truly unfortunate and unlucky who is cursed by such a kind of Nabi. And the first of those du'as which Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam made was, بَعُدَ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. Woe and destruction be for that person who finds the month of Ramadan and he does not get himself forgiven in the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan comes and he continues in his life of sin. He does not restrain himself in the month of Ramadan. If he was missing his salah, then in spite of the month of Ramadan coming, then too there is no change. If he was involved in watching filth on the television screens or casting lustful glances, and then the month of Ramadan does not make a difference to him. He continues it in his old ways. And the second dua which as Jibreel alayhi salam made was that, woe be to that person in whose presence my name is mentioned and he does not recite durood and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore it is essential that whenever the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is mentioned, we should make it a habit to say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the last dua is that destruction for that person, the gist of which his parents become old, or one of his parents become old, and he does not gain entry into Jannah because of not making the khidmah. Furthermore, we find with regards to the month of Ramadan, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُعْ. There are many of those who fast in the month of Ramadan, but they gain nothing from their fast except hunger. Ulama-i-Kiram give three explanations with regards to this. That person, the entire day he fasted, but when he came to iftar, he broke his fast with haram food. So he lost all the thawab of Ramadan, of that fast. And the second two interpretations is that the person, in spite of fasting, but he engaged in ghiba or slandering. And what is ghiba? It is speaking ill of our brother. that which he dislikes. The Sahaba Ikram inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, but what if that evil quality is actually found in that person? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yeah, that this is in fact ghiba, that evil quality is found in that person, and you are mentioning to others, he will not like it. And if that quality is not found in that person, there's some evil quality that you are mentioning about this person, it's not found in this person, then that is not ghiba, that is slandering this person. So we find that a person in the month of Ramadan, as is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, that there were two women in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They became extremely hungry to such an extent that they had reached the throes of death due to excessive hunger. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed the Sahaba Ikram to present a bowl before them and make them vomit in that bowl. When they did this, they found that there were fresh pieces of flesh that they had vomited. Upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that they had abstained from the halal food of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but engaged in haram, that is, they had made ghibat. Allah ta'ala mentions regarding ghibah, يُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? So therefore, a person fasts the entire day, but he engages in ghibah. And the third explanation is that he fasts the entire day, but he continues sinning. And he continues his life of sin and displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the thawab and the nur of the fast is lost. So therefore, as Hazrat Ma'ashawi Tanvi rahmatullahi mentions, that in the month of Ramadan, try and intermingle as less as possible. Why? Because if you're going to mix with people, then eventually, ultimately, you are going to get involved in sin and get caught up. He says, use your free time as much as possible in the tilawat of Quran Sharif. After all, the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. Make as much tilawat of Quran Sharif. There are golden opportunities to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of Sahri, it is very easy. When you wake up for Sahri, let us get the habit of waking up a little early and make tahajjud salah. We should not waste this opportunity of waking up for tahajjud salah and crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of iftar, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that a person at the time of iftar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his dua. If we look at the month of Ramadan, as one alim gives a beautiful explanation, he says the month of Ramadan will be the example of which is a person is given a money-making machine. And he's told that you have this money-making machine for 29 or 30 days. And this money-making machine, you will use it. And after 29 or 30 days, we will take it back. So any person, sane person, who knows the value of money, then he will not waste any time. He will value every second that he has that machine with him. Why? Because he knows after 29 or 30 days, the machine will be taken back. And I may never get this machine again. In the same way, this month of Ramadan is our money-making machine for the Akhirah. It is our capital and opportunity to build our capital for the Akhirah. In fact, a person, if he allowed the 29 or 30 days to pass and he didn't use that machine, then we will all say he really suffered a great loss. And how foolish he was. More foolish, and a person has gained much more loss. At a greater loss is that person who allows the month of Ramadan to pass and he does not gain the mercy and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the mercy and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending. Every one of us, if we search deep down in our hearts, then we will admit to the fact that what a wonderful atmosphere it is in the month of Ramadan. That we come to the Masjid Fajr Salah, what a beautiful atmosphere it is to see the Masjid so full. Now let us all make a firm resolution that let this Ramadan be our changing point. That just how we fill the Masjid in the month of Ramadan, let us continue for the remaining months of the year. We should not be like that person who is forced. It is just a burden, he's being forced. That the moment the month of Ramadan passes, then he continues and goes back to his life of sin. As Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah, he gives the example of a beautiful example. He says a worm that passes its entire life in feces in stool, and that it is rizq and sustenance. So one day that worm emerged from the stool and he got a breeze of fresh, cool air. So when the worm inhaled that fresh, clean air, it said that, no, this air is not for me. And he died back in that stool. He says in the same way, this is our example, that we are involved in sins, in displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a life of filth, in displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in pleasing nafs and shaitan. Now, when we sit in some dini program, or go out in the jamaat, or sit in the company of some sheikh, or engage in some tilawat or dhikr, or get involved in Salah, or the month of Ramadan comes and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the moment the month of Ramadan passes, we say, no, that was too much for me now. Let me get back into my life of sin. So let us make a firm resolution that this month of Ramadan must be our training ground, that from now onward we will maintain. If we look at our pious predecessors in the month of Ramadan, a person will be bewildered and astounded. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi is mentioned in the month of Ramadan, he will make 61 khatams of the Quran Sharif. Imam Abu Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullahi, he writes and he says that I have seen with my own eyes such mashayikh that when the month of Ramadan came, he says they would make one khatam of the Quran Sharif every day in the month of Ramadan. And he says practically every night, majority of the night they would spend in ibadah and in salah and in turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, when I saw this, it became very easy for me to believe those stories of our pious predecessors, how they valued the month of Ramadan. So therefore the month of Ramadan is a month for us to maximize, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make our akhirat. And we should make dua in this month of Ramadan for ourselves, for our family members, and especially the ummah at large. We know that the ummah is suffering throughout the world. Let us make dua for the entire ummah and all those people who have been affected by the disaster. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants those people who have passed away high stages in Jannah, and those who they have left behind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them sabr-e jameel and make it easy for them to get accommodation. We should make a lot of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the great bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And let us try and assist and help and support in whichever way we can, even though it may be through du'as. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب.